This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, the Arkansas legislature overturned a governor's veto, officially closed its fiscal session business, and the House of Representatives elected a new designated speaker. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas recently sat down with Janelle Lilly, lead Capitol reporter for KATV, newly elected House Speaker-designate Jeremy Gillum, and old elected Senate President-designate Jonathan Dismang for a conversation.
With the private option battle ending for this year, it looks all roads point to next year, the same thing happening again. How is it going to be any different? Is getting through it this year going to change the way that you guys approach it next year?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is we're going to have real data, and we'll have some experience that we'll be able to look at and make sure that it's moving in the direction that we intended it to, you know, kind of first and foremost. You know, as ACE has said in some recent announcements, you know, right now it is law of the land, and if he's elected, he would take a look at it and then establish some reforms based on the direction that he would like to provide. And so, you know, the private option was never meant to be stagnant. It was always supposed to be something that, you know, was changed and moved, and I think we'll see that within the next session. But again, it will be contentious as it has been last session, and that will be, I think that's just part of the reality in regards to the private option.
Well, you had an easier time of it in the Senate than the House did. What about the House?
Well, I think that, and I think Senator Desmond keyed on something very important there, is the fluidity of the situation. I mean, the data coming in as it's being implemented is going to tell us all a lot of things. And I think as long as the members are getting communicated to and they're in the meetings and we're studying it as we move forward, I think there's a chance of having consensus moving into the session. And that's what we're going to be really trying to strive for, is to make sure that the members are on the same page, and hopefully we'll be able to avoid some of the same circumstances we found ourselves in the fiscal session.
Absent the data that you're going to be working, absent the data that you're going to be looking at, are there some specific things that you want to see changed, or that you already have an idea need to be changed or moved in a different direction?
I think the health savings account program, which was part of the original law, but also here more recently we mandated that actually take place for the program to continue. I think, you know, the development of that program will be critical as things move forward. And also think in regards to emergency transportation and that waiver request that's been put out, or we haven't put it out yet, but development of that at this point will be very important as we move forward. And I think those two things, you know, is what's identified right now as priority. But again, I think it will evolve as it's meant to evolve, and there'll be other input and other discussions. And I am certain there will be change in direction and change of priorities before we get into the next session.
Either one of you willing to be the person that helps wind it down, if that's what the data suggests that you should do?
Well, I think if we get to that point where we begin next session and the membership, you know, looks at it and says, look, this is not working like we need it to, and we can't see a viable option of changing it and still moving it forward, then we'll go that direction. I mean, we're going to be responsible in how we do it and make sure that it's done in the proper way. But if that's the will of our body, then we'll take that direction.
And I understand there's already a committee formed for that purpose that John Burris is leading at this point, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about the veto override this week. The governor vetoed this tax break bill for the natural gas industry, and some splitting hairs as to how to define if it was a tax break or not a tax break. I don't want to debate that, but the governor's basically said that COLAs for state employees are now threatened. Do you guys feel that the COLAs for state employees should be threatened? It's a pretty small percentage of the budget.
Right. I think it's 0.1% of the overall forecast. And, you know, I guess, you know, the governor is very conservative in his budgeting and especially in his forecast. You know, we've talked to BLR, Legislative Research, quite a bit in the last few days and even prior to when we were, you know, working through the forecast. And they feel like it is conservative and will come in above, which means that AB and even B1, which is where the COLAs are, and possibly C could even be funded. And so I'm fairly confident that we'll get to that point. But of course, if the governor does change the forecast and revises it down, it would require him or the next governor to revise it back up as the revenues actually come in and we get to, you know, the reality versus the forecast.
Can we talk about the campaign season that's coming up and what your plans are for that? I mean, you were elected by Republicans and Democrats, and so I'm curious what that means as far as, are you going to go stump for people in contested districts? Do you have any standards as that goes?
Well, my philosophy basically has been the same since I got in the House, and that's the to show the utmost respect to my colleagues that I serve with, and so I'm not going to be out campaigning against my colleagues. We've got several open seats and some primaries that are just Republican primaries, and so I think there's plenty of things to keep me busy in planning the House and getting ready and moving forward in the next session that I won't have to be out campaigning against my fellow colleagues.
I got a question for you on the Senate side of things. The House has done an admirable job of live streaming all of their business. Senate seems to be a little slower to the take on this. You're going to be in leadership position now to force that. Do you see opening up the Senate proceedings, the Senate committee meetings, to live streaming to open it up to more people around the state?
I mean, I think it's something that we'll discuss, but it's something we'll discuss as a whole. You know, it would not be my decision, decision solely to move forward either way.
What will you push for?
I mean, in some ways, it's something that I am supportive of. I would like to be able to, you know, to have that broadcast and have that representation out there. But again, the Senate's a little bit different body. For instance, we don't use microphones on the Senate floor. That would have to change if we're going to be recording or videoing what we do for to be able to hear what we're saying, and so I'm just not sure at this point, number one, what the costs are going to be, number two, how it changes the the climate of the Senate or the atmosphere of the Senate. And I think all those things have to be looked at before we make a firm decision in how we move forward.
We have committee assignments to talk about, because I think this is something, after what happened last year with Speaker Carter, the Republicans taking control of the House and all of that drama that came along with it, committee assignments became an issue that was talked about throughout the whole rest of the regular session and the fiscal session. So tell me what your plans are with that.
Well, right now, I think that given the nature of the dynamics in the House, and I'm a firm believer in proportionate representation. And so I don't look like, at this point, it doesn't look like we're going to be reinventing the wheel on that. I think Speaker Carter laid out a really good platform and a design on how to do the committee assignments as far as Democrats and Republicans. And so I look probably to follow along those lines. And of course, the elections in November will make some difference in that as far as who's elected and things. So we'll go from there. So it's not necessarily set in stone at this point, but that looks to be the direction we're going to go.
Have you given anyone a committee chairmanship yet?
Nope, not a one. I've had several that have asked me to make sure that they do not get one. And so so I've had more of that than I have the others. So.
Does anything change down in the Senate in terms of how you guys do your committee assignments?
Of course, the pro tem does not have as much influence on assignments as, mm-hmm. for instance, the Speaker does. But one of the biggest issues there would be a budget chair. Senator Teague has done a great job for Senator Lamoureux this current session. And, we haven't visited yet about what he would like to do moving forward, but that would probably be one of the more prominent positions that we'd have some influence on.
You think you might keep him in that role?
That's what I think at this point, that's what I'd like to do. But again, I haven't had that conversation with him to make sure that's, he would like to continue to serve in that capacity.
That was Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas, speaking with Janelle Lilly, lead Capitol reporter for KATV, newly elected House Speaker-designate Jeremy Gillum, and old elected Senate President-designate Jonathan Dismang. That interview originally aired on Talk Business and Politics with Roby Brock, which can be seen Sunday mornings at 9 on KATV in the Central Arkansas market. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. More information at ArkansasStateChamber.com.